People say that Britain stops in cold weather, but it's not true. So Aerial Gel is giving a shout out to people who do outstanding work in the cold, like Ned, who delivers post in freezing Yorkshire and gets his muddy socks clean with Aerial Gel.
It's a bit plucky at -4 or -5, but just pull my socks up and I crack on.
Ned, we think you're outstanding in the cold. An Aerial Gel is outstanding at cleaning in cold temperatures. Try it. It's brilliant.
Thursday, February 15th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. We get together and we talk sports every single day, and we try to do it with a dose of common sense. We try not to take ourselves too seriously, and we hope that we can give you something to smile about every single day. Happy Thursday to you. We are happy to have you with us today. I hope that you survived Valentine's Day, and I hope that you didn't have to take out a second mortgage to pay for Valentine's Day. I know that that is really, really easy to get in deep when you're looking at trying to make sure you covered all your bases. Sometimes it can get a little bit expensive. You know, I actually had a few people reach out to us yesterday concerning our Valentine's Day episode yesterday. Couple people, there were a few listeners that felt like maybe when we read some of those Valentines yesterday, possibly those weren't real Valentines. Just throwing that out there. A few listeners say they weren't sure that those Valentines were actually real, that they were legitimate. Look, here's the deal. I can neither confirm nor deny the validity of those Valentines. I simply read what I was given by the crack staff here at the Daily Dose. You know, I don't know. I'm assuming that they're real. I just have to go off of what I was given. So that's what we went off of. Did have a few people that reached out about the Valentines that enjoyed them. But I did have a couple that said, I'm not sure those were valid. You know, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know which Valentines you thought might actually be real. You can, of course, email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have some feedback for the show like that. You'd like to tell us, hey, not sure those Valentines were 100% valid. Maybe you need some advice about your Valentine or about your Valentine's Day. We'd love to hear from you. We would be glad to help. Just make sure that you reach out to us. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. The Winter Olympics are rolling along, and we have seen, well, what I guess is an upset. I'm not really sure. I can't really tell what's an upset in the Olympics, especially in these Winter Olympics. I have no idea. We'll talk about that a little bit. You know, we're having a number of injuries in a major sports league, and I'm not sure that we have figured out the culprit completely just yet. Want to discuss that. That wasn't supposed to be happening, but it is. And as we do every single Thursday, we do have some overreactions of the week that we do need to get to. Of course, seems like every single week we are getting pitched something. There's a little bit of an overreaction in the sports media world. Doesn't always make sense. We like to talk about those things here. First and foremost, Team USA men's hockey got beat 3-2 in overtime yesterday by Slovenia in the South Korean Olympic Games. You know, in watching that game, honestly, Slovenia didn't look like a match for the USA early on. But keep this in mind when you're watching men's Olympic hockey this year. We don't have NHL players. They didn't make this trip. So who knows who's going to win this tournament? Team USA did at least get a point for making it to the overtime. But right now, when you look at that pool they're in, Slovenia and Slovakia are leading the pool with both Team USA and Russia in third and fourth place. Not sure anyone saw that really coming. But here's the thing. Like I said, with NHL players not making the trip, I don't know if we have any idea what to expect. Do we see anything coming in this tournament? We don't know these players well enough. It's a bunch of players that we just don't know. So I guess it was an upset, I think. Not really sure, 100%. I'm told it was an upset. Team USA got upset. Throwing that out there. Couple other things. In golf, Tiger Woods made it clear earlier this week to his competitors that there will not be much chit-chatting during winning time, as he called it. He said this at his Tuesday pre-tournament press conference ahead of the Genesis Open coming this weekend. Woods was asked whether he could turn the cold shoulder to some of the young players he's formed relationships with. Two of those players, Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas, he's going to be teeing it up with on Thursday and Friday at Riviera. And he was asked how he thought they'd react if he wasn't real talky with them. Tiger says he won't have any problem turning a cold shoulder to him. He said, when it is time to play, when it is time to focus, when it is winning time, there is not going to be any chit-chatting from me. Just putting that out there, setting things straight. Let these young guys know when it is time to step up and it is time to make big plays and to make key shots. Hey, we're not talking. We're not friends. That's it. He says there won't be any talking during winning time. You know what else there probably won't be much of during winning time in the Genesis Open? There probably won't be much Tiger at winning time. Aww. Because I feel like lately, whenever it's winning time, it's not Tiger time. I know the guys want to ask that. We just keep hoping, please, can Tiger just have one more run in him? Yeah, I'm not sure that he does. Hey, we've got a lot to still get to. Coming back, the NBA has a few problems that they might need to address very, very soon. And we will get to our overreactions of the week. As usual, we never have a shortage of those in the sports world.
Listen up, friends. At Tesco Mobile, we've boosted our £10 pay-as-you-go rocket pack from 2 gigabytes to a brilliant 3 gigabytes of data, plus 500 minutes and 5,000 texts. So you can play more, post more, and watch more. For your SIM, go online or in-store. Smile. You're on Tesco Mobile.
Rocket pack expires after 1 month. Requires Tesco Mobile or unlocked 4G phone minutes. Text to standard UK landline and mobiles. Includes EU roaming. T's and C's apply.
Not sure if you saw this, but Oklahoma Sooners freshman guard Trey Young, I mean, he is just absolutely torching the competition this year, playing for Oklahoma, leading the NCAA in both scoring and assists through 24 games. He was leading the country in both scoring and assists. And he is building a pretty good case to be the national player of the year. The former five-star talent from Norman, who entered college as a potential one-and-done kind of player, he's been shooting up the draft boards. We're seeing a number of franchises looking at Trey Young and thinking, what if he could possibly be that next Steph Curry? He has a chance to be a very, very high draft pick because of his explosiveness that he has, especially at the offensive end. You know, he's caught the eye of GMs and he's caught the eye of a number of front office people in the NBA. He's actually also caught the eye of one Cleveland philanthropist by the name of LeBron James. And the philanthropist had this to say when asked what decision Trey Young should make on whether or not he should jump to the NBA after his freshman year. Here was what the philanthropist had to say. What decision? That ain't no decision, LeBron James said. That's like saying my waking up this morning. That ain't no decision. Brushing my teeth. That ain't no decision. He better go pro. Huh. Now, here's my question. Could that be any kind of a violation? I mean, LeBron is connected to Rich Paul, who represents him, right? That's his agency. And there is undoubtedly potential there for Rich Paul to go sign Trey Young into the NBA. Is the NBA now in the business of recruiting underclassmen out of college? Is that what you want your top star doing now? Now, I get it. I understand that Commissioner Adam Silver has no guts whatsoever, so this will never be brought up, it'll never be talked about. But this is a really, really bad look for the NBA. Your best player, the top player in your league, is basically recruiting underclassmen to come to the league out of college? Is that what this is about? And you know, it's also a little bit of a bad look for the players' union, isn't it? You would think that the players union would be trying to protect the jobs of older guards and older players that are already in the NBA. You're going to tell me they don't have a say in this? They're not taking offense to LeBron saying this? Yeah, he better come. Look, I'm not saying it's the worst thing that's ever been said. I'm just saying, like, LeBron, what are you thinking about? Wouldn't it be real easy for LeBron just to have said, yeah, he's a great player. I imagine he's going to be in the league someday. Rather than saying, yeah, it's no question, he should be in this league right now. There's no decision. That's no decision at all. He better go pro. Really? That's what your top pros are doing now? That's not a good look for the NBA. Speaking of a bad look for the NBA. Do you realize, as we are closing in on the 2018 NBA All-Star break, we'll be talking about that a little bit more tomorrow on the show. NBA All-Star break this weekend in Los Angeles. But do you realize that injuries in the NBA are up 42% from a year ago? That's a big jump. And here's the thing. It's not like they haven't tried to make corrections. It's not like they haven't been trying to figure this whole injury thing out. They definitely have. Think about all that the NBA has done. They've limited practice time. They shortened the preseason significantly. And they softened the schedule to get rid of as many back-to-back games as possible. Remember, that was one of the things that the players' union was really pushing for. No more back-to-back games. Those back-to-back games are where we get hurt. Those longer preseasons are where we get hurt. Those are where all the injuries are coming from. Okay, so they got rid of all that. And injuries are still up. And look at the injuries we've had. They are two big-name players. Mike Conley. Gordon Hayward. DeMarcus Cousins. Chris Paul was out for a while. John Wall is out for a while. Kristaps Porzingis went down last week. You also have guys like Seth Curry, Andre Robertson. We have had a number of injuries. So now what? Because all the measures that they took didn't help. Not only did they not help, things are now worse. Through last Friday, there were 3,798 games missed by players due to injury. That's up 42% from the exact same point last season. So now what? What is it that the NBA can do? How can they possibly eliminate some of these injuries? Because there's just too many of them. You don't have a product if you have that many players out. Now, there are a number of people out there that are saying the shorter preseason is exactly what caused all these injuries. Because guys weren't in as good a shape as they usually are. They didn't play enough in the preseason. They came straight into the season. They weren't in as good a shape. And now you have guys going down. So they actually need to lengthen the preseason. The preseason was actually right before. And now it's too short. Guys are getting hurt more. I mean, maybe. I guess that's a possibility. There are also those. I've heard a number of coaches. I believe Steve Kerr said this. It's just a coincidence. It's just the way things have fallen. You take a look at someone like Gordon Hayward, just a freak injury. You take a look at the situation with DeMarcus Cousins, spins in the lane, just a freak injury. Number of these injuries, you could just say, hey, it's just wrong place, wrong time. Those do happen. There's no way to plan for every single injury. No matter what you do, a guy could just step wrong and something just snap. That is a possibility. But might I throw out one other possibility? And I'm not accusing anyone of anything. Well, yes, I guess I am. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm just kind of saying this, and you just kind of think about this. Let this kind of just register and knock around in your brain a little bit. See what you think of this. When was the last time you ever heard of an NBA player testing positive for any sort of banned substance? And I mean anything, like anything. Come up with a substance, it's banned, the NBA tested for it, this guy was found guilty, and he's got to sit 2, 3, 4 games, whatever it might be. When was the last time that ever happened? Let me think. Yeah, I think never is the number that comes to mind. I think it's probably never. Now, when we think of all these injuries to tendons, to ligaments, a lot of times, those things go back to the fact that things have been injected in the human body that make ligaments and tendons much more susceptible to injury. Remember, it was just a few years ago that the Miami Heat were playing in the NBA Finals. It didn't look like Dwayne Wade could move. He couldn't hardly walk. He couldn't even compete. And then the next game he was fine. Everything was better. Hey, look, I got all healed. I just needed a day's rest. You went from not being able to walk to playing at an elite level? I'm not sure I'm buying that. You're telling me none of these guys are going overseas and injecting anything into their bodies? You're telling me none of these guys are heading down to Miami for a quick weekend and coming home with a box full of goodies from the Alex Rodriguez mail clinic? I don't know. And I'm not saying it's every single guy. Of course I'm not. But There is no testing of any banned substance in the NBA. These guys could literally be taking anything they possibly want ever. Take whatever you want. Who cares? You're literally never going to get in trouble for it. It's never going to happen. That'll never come out. There's a lot of different reasons that all these injuries could be taking place in the NBA. Anything's possible. Maybe it's just coincidence. Maybe it was the shorter preseason. Or maybe at least some of it can be contributed to the fact some of these guys might be putting things in their bodies that they shouldn't be putting in there. And that can weaken some key areas of your bodies. Just throwing that out there. Hey, coming back, we will have our weekly Daily Dose segment. That's right. The best overreactions from the sports media world. What nonsense are we being told this week? As usual, they've always got something for us. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, maybe you need to pick up a present for a friend or a family member or a coworker. Maybe you just want to do some shopping for yourself and you're looking around and you're trying to find something maybe for your desk at work, maybe for your pet, maybe for your car, maybe for your house, whatever it might be. You should probably head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, or video games. February's Loot Crate theme, it's called Protect, and it features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure you type in Daily Dose in the coupon box, and you'll get 10% off of your order. And if you heard February's Loot Crate theme, and you heard those franchises, and you said, yeah, those aren't really me, that's not what I'd be interested in, head over to lootcrate.com. I'll promise you, you're going to find something over there that is going to appeal to you. They just have so much stuff. So make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com. Okay, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Thursday overreactions of the week because every week we like to take a look around the sports world. We like to see what overreactions they might be jamming down our throat this week. And then sometimes we hear these and we just say something simple like this.
That was an overreaction.
So our first overreaction this week has got to be the idea and the notion that we are being fed that Bill Belichick choosing not to play cornerback Malcolm Butler just might have cost the New England Patriots the Super Bowl. I've heard this from a number of people. There are quite a few people saying, hey, Belichick, for whatever reason, got mad at Malcolm Butler, benched Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler could have changed that Super Bowl for the Patriots. How does a guy go from basically winning the Super Bowl MVP 2-3 years ago to now he doesn't even get to play? That is Belichick cutting off his nose despite his face. Whatever his beef was with Malcolm Butler, we don't know if there's a rules violation or if there was just personal beef with him, what the problem was, but Bill Belichick cost the Patriots the game by not playing what looks like New England's best cornerback. Let's understand a few things here as we get told this. I don't have any idea what happened with Malcolm Butler. Of course, the Patriots aren't going to say anything. And Butler just keeps saying how he didn't get in trouble or do anything that would have resulted in punishment of any kind. Okay. But here's the thing. First off, it didn't have to be punishment. It could have quite easily and most likely been just a tactical decision. Butler's a very small guy. Maybe the Patriots wanted to go with a bigger guy. I have no idea. But here's what I do know. The New England Patriots had way more problems than one cornerback on their defense. Do you realize the New England Patriots in that game, in Super Bowl 52, they didn't register a single sack on Nick Foles all day? Nick Foles attempted 43 passes. You couldn't get to him once? And here's the thing. The Patriots defense didn't just suddenly get bad in the Super Bowl. They hadn't been great the entire year. But when they got to the postseason, we looked at them and we kind of said, well, yeah, but they've kind of shored some things up. They've gotten better. And they definitely did. A little. But when you get to play Marcus Mariota and Blake Bortles on your way to the Super Bowl, it looks like your defense has made much bigger strides than they've actually made. And they hadn't. Nick Foles torched the New England Patriots defense. So you can go ahead and play Malcolm Butler if you want to. What does he do? Maybe stop a pass or two? But that's probably it. That wouldn't have been the difference in the game. Is Malcolm Butler going to rush the passer? Because if not, then who cares? I don't care who's back there covering. You can have Deion Sanders and Champ Bailey back there covering. If there's no pressure on the quarterback, it makes no difference. And Nick Foles, for the most part, yeah, he was pretty clean on that Sunday. He went home. I don't even know if he had to wash his jersey except to get the champagne out of it. Other than that, I just don't see how a cornerback changes the game that much for you. I am a big believer, and I've probably said this on the show a million times, build your football team and start at the football and then build outward. And you could see that the Eagles built their football team towards the football. Their nose tackles, their centers, their guards, their tackles, their offensive linemen, their defensive linemen. That's where they started, and then they built outwards. And when you build teams like that, it's pretty amazing how those things work, because remember, football is always won at the line of scrimmage. Next overreaction that we are getting a lot of this week, we are getting the overreaction. LaVar Ball told a reporter that Lonzo Ball will refuse to re-sign with the Lakers or join any other NBA franchise if they refuse to sign LiAngelo and LaMelo as well. Okay, nope, 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 nope. We're not going to talk about it. I've told you this. I've told you that the only member of the Ball family worth talking about is Lonzo. I'm not even joking about that. I refuse to talk about whatever nonsense Lonzo's father, I think I'll just start calling him that from now. I don't care what Lonzo's father is saying now. But here is the biggest thing, and I keep saying it. I don't know when anybody's going to listen. Stop putting a microphone in front of Lonzo Ball's father. And then, as bad as that is, and then acting shocked when he talks into that microphone. That's on you, ESPN. They can act like they don't want these crazy takes. They keep putting the microphone in his face. I don't care what Lonzo's dad said. I really don't. He could say, unless the Lakers sign me and the mom and the cousin and I don't care. I don't care. It's idiotic. Stop putting a mic in front of the guy and you'd stop getting stupid comments. That's on ESPN. If anybody's sick of all the comments we're getting from that guy, just stop watching ESPN. Anytime it comes on, just turn the channel. Just switch it, because that's the only way it's going to stop. Okay, here is one of the biggest things we are getting this week, and it is a big one. The Cleveland Cavaliers are back, and they are once again the team to beat in the NBA Eastern Conference. Well, maybe. They looked good again. They beat Oklahoma City on Tuesday night, but here is the problem with just declaring the Cleveland Cavaliers being back. Well, there's kind of a twofold problem. First, everyone else in the East is back to looking very, very average. Some of that is because of the time of year. It's almost NBA All-Star break. So, hey, we talked about it a little bit. A lot of these guys are kind of burned out. They're kind of sick of it. They're just like, oh, just get to the All-Star break. I just want some rest. And I do think we're definitely seeing that in the situation with the Boston Celtics. But once again, here's the problem with getting so excited about the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. It's too small of a sample size. The Cavs are playing very, very well, but anyone can play hard for a night or two. And we don't know how long this is going to last. Opposing teams right now in the NBA, they don't even have an accurate scout on the Cleveland Cavaliers yet. They can't even figure out who all's on the team just yet. Here's kind of an analogy I'll throw out to you. Hopefully this will make a little bit of sense to you. Remember when you were in school? Remember when you were a kid in school? Like right around middle school, like maybe 6th, 7th grade, something like that. And you would come back from summer vacation. And there was that one kid that would show up first day of school. And he was that kid that you knew, like he never combed his hair, never took a shower. He was always like just kind of a slob, shirt untucked, just kind of looked like a mess. And on the first day of school, he was all showered, shirt was all ironed, hair was combed perfect. He had brushed his teeth. He looked like a normal, nice kid. And so you sat there and you said, oh man, this kid has really changed. He's completely different. I remember last year in 6th grade, he was a disaster. He looked like a mess every single day. Boogers coming out of his nose. Hair's a big, huge mess. He had like a peanut butter jelly smeared all over his face. Now look at him. He's all clean. Like he looks like he's a legit guy. Now he's all, you know, dressed up and he looks nice and the hair's combed and showered and looks great. I'll bet he has changed. And the next day, he still would, like, he looked still pretty good. Like, his clothes were still ironed and hair, not quite as nice, but his hair was a little bit. And then the next day, a little bit less. And like 2 weeks later, he was right back to being that same dirty, scrubby kid. Now, I don't have any idea what the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to look like when we get to the NBA postseason. I'm not sure. But if you think that I'm going to believe it just based on the fact that they showed up dressed up nice for the first 2 days of schools, yeah, that's not good enough for me. I want to see them do it over a period of time. Anyone can do it on the first day of school. I want to see when you got up late and you weren't feeling that good and you still had to get ready and you still had to go to school and you still had to show up. Did you do all those things then? Because I'm not sure that they're going to do all those things then. I want to see them go through just a little bit of a struggle at some point, and then we can be a better judge of exactly who the Cleveland Cavaliers are. Let's wait and let's see what they look like in a few weeks after we get out of the All-Star break. Another thing that we are getting a lot of this week is that Dwayne Wade's locker room attitude was the reason the Cleveland Cavaliers shipped him back to Miami. I understand that, and it sounds like he was pretty negative in the locker room at Cleveland. But understand this from the beginning, this was just a horrible fit for Dwayne Wade. The Cavs were slow, the Cavs were old, and the Cavs couldn't play defense. I mean, that's basically Dwayne Wade in a nutshell right now at this point in his career. So it was just a terrible fit for him. He can still be a viable player in Miami. They don't need a ton from him, but he can come in and he can contribute to that Miami Heat team and possibly contribute to them going to the postseason. But imagine this from Dwayne Wade's perspective. Just think about this for 1 second. You go from your head coach being Eric Spoelstra, who is an X's and O's guru, a guy who has learned at the knee of some very, very good coaches and is drawing things up and is diagramming things and is running sets for you that you're sitting there going, okay, if I come off this screen, I'm going to have this shot right here and I'm going to have this option here and I'm going to be able to look here for another option. And then going to Tyronn Lue, a guy that is basically just saying, hey, LeBron, figure things out and you lead us. I mean, you'd be salty too, wouldn't you? So I understand Dwayne Wade probably was very, very negative in that locker room. Because he's coming from Spoelstra to Tyronn Lue. Yeah, I bet he didn't have anything nice to say to him. In fact, I'll bet he was extremely negative saying, what in the world? This guy's your coach? Is this a professional franchise? Or am I like in a movie somewhere? So, just wasn't a good fit. All the way around, that was never a good fit for Dwayne Wade to be in Cleveland. The only reason he ended up in Cleveland, because LeBron James told everyone, I want him in Cleveland. And it didn't work. Hey, one thing that we're all kind of losing sight of, and again, I'm not just here to throw rocks at LeBron James, I swear. He made these moves. That roster that just had to be cleaned up, that was LeBron's doing. Let's never, ever forget that. We can all sit there and say, man, LeBron just got cursed with that bad roster. And they were old, and they were this, and they were that. Yeah, he's the one who pulled the strings to get all those guys to come there. So we can't just let him slide on all that, because a lot of that nonsense was his doing. Our final sports overreaction of the week that we are getting, and we're getting a lot of it, is actually coming out of Golden State. And it is the fact that head coach Steve Kerr let Draymond Green, David West, and Andre Iguodala run a few huddles in the Golden State Warriors game the other night against Phoenix. And there's a few opinions on this. Steve Kerr's completely lost control of his team. He can't even run his own huddles. And that was totally disrespectful to the Phoenix Suns. He didn't even coach his own team. He just basically told his players, here, you coach him. I don't have to because the Suns are that bad. Well, there's a few problems with that. One, the Suns are that bad. So, I mean, say whatever we want. If you're Phoenix and you're sick of getting beat by 40, stop getting beat by 40. That's a novel concept, isn't it? But here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand about coaching, especially in a season as long as the NBA. There are times in the year that your players, I don't want to say don't listen to you, but they've heard your voice so many times, they do kind of start to tune you out. Oh, I've heard coach tell me to do this 50 million times. I'm sick of it. And they just kind of shut it off. I've actually witnessed this in practice where I would go in to another coach's practice on our same staff. Maybe it was the sophomore team or the JV team or the freshman team or whatever. And I would go into their gym and I would hear their coach saying, hey, on the backside of that zone on offense, make sure you're flashing and popping out. And I'm looking at the kid and he's looking at his coach. Didn't hear a word he said. And I say, hey, come here. What did coach just tell you? I don't know, playing zone offense. I don't know. Yeah, because they've just heard it so many times. They've kind of tuned him out. Then I told the player to do it and they did it. Why? Because I'm this great coach? No, because it was just a different voice. Sometimes you need a different voice to try to reach your guys. Here's the other thing. Who better to teach your system than your own players? Because remember, the Warriors don't have a ton of depth. They will need that bench to at least not get run off the floor at some point, right? But when you have some of these guys in a blowout situation, you have Draymond, you have West, you have Iguodala, you have Steph, whoever might be sitting on your bench, how do you keep them invested when they know we're up by 40 on the Suns? Who cares? You give them some investment and you say, hey, you guys run the huddle. You guys draw something up. Not only does it get the attention of the players that are going to go out and play because now, hey, Draymond just told me to do this. I might want to go do it. It also gives investment to those players that were teaching because they're saying, hey, now I want to see what happens. Are you guys going to go run what I just told you to run? That's a great way to teach. And you can get mad at Steve Kerr. You can say he's lost his team. You can say that, you know, he was being disrespectful to the Suns. I actually thought it was a really, really good move. I thought it was a really, really smart move. And we're going to see if it pays off. Make no mistake, the Golden State Warriors are very, very talented. They have the most talent in the NBA. They're going to need that bench to step up at some point. And if Steve Kerr can get them to buy in, however he has to do it, it is going to pay off for them once again. Hey, tomorrow is Friday. And of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories. We will also be looking forward to the weekend in sports and giving you some of the best events that you might want to make sure that you tune in for. Plus, as we do every single week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you never want to miss that. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback, for the questions and the suggestions. Thank you so much for sharing the show. It is very, very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Thursday.